Jack Kane is a Houston cop, a human being, and he doesn't know what he's up against. What he's up against isn't human. In the aisles of all police dramas comes a new action film starring Dolph Lundgren, star of Punisher, star of the Masters of the Universe, up against Matthias Hughes. This is one hell of a movie because he comes in peace and he's a dark angel. Welcome to Phantom Podcast Network. This is Legal Mullet Podcast, a celebration of 1980s action cinema. Celebrating the heroes of yesterday, Schwarzenegger, Stallone, Bruce Willis, Van Damme, all the way down to, of course, the B-grade action films that we all enjoyed on VHS, and of course, Betamax, with the loves of American Ninja, all the way through to Cyborg Cop and beyond. Here at Phantom Podcast Network's Legal Mullet Podcast, join Adam O'Brien as we celebrate action movie cinema.
G'day, mate. How you going? This here's Legal Mullet. Adam O'Brien coming live from Quinlan's Canteen in the Gold Coast of Australia. Hope you've enjoyed the last episode talking about Tim Burton's Batman with, of course, Kevin, Kyle, Blair, and Lee Unit. That's right, it was a great episode, and we will be doing Batman Returns in the near future with some of them, because some of them like it and some of them don't. That's right, folks, some of them don't like it. Too much Burton for them. Too much Penguin. Not enough Catwoman, eh? Well, tonight we're going to be looking at a Dolph Lundgren classic. You know, we've been looking at some Lundgren movies recently with Showdown in Little Tokyo as well. And this one is, of course, Dark Angel, or otherwise known as I Come in Peace in the United States and some other places. It was released in September 28, 1990, and it's a great little film for what it is. It's a great little futuristic actioner, and of course it's a cop drama. It's a bit of a buddy cop drama, actually. And it's great because it's all about basically drugs, space drugs. In this case, of course, we have Jack Kane, which is, of course, Dolph Lundgren's character. He's a Houston cop, and he's basically going up against this alien, if you like, alien drug trafficker. And, of course, the drug they're after is human bloody beings. Simple as that. Of course, it's drug-related murders on the streets of Houston, Texas, that he's trying to solve in this. And, of course, he goes up against, the FBI, which is the big thing in this. And, of course, Larry Smith, who, of course, is played by Brian Benben, who's actually really, really good in this. He's a fantastic sort of wisecracking, by-the-book FBI agent. There's many funny little interactions, of course, between himself, other FBI, crooked FBI, and, of course, Dolph Lundgren himself too. This is really well directed. It feels at times like a TV movie, and we'll get into that. But also, it's great to see. Actually, if you read the back cover of the Australian edition of this on the DVD, they've gone real cheap and actually just recently got a couple of shots from The Punisher, which no doubt he was doing straight after The Punisher. This movie, he's still got the same hair dye, the black hair for The Punisher that he did. So I would have said he probably made this the same year that he did Punisher. It's a great film. We'll get into that very, very soon. But before we do, here's how you can contact us here at the Phantom Podcast Network and subscribe to us and check out all the shows.
The number you have dialed has been changed. The new number is...
G'day, my name is Gowan. Follow the Lethal Mullet here on Phantom Podcast Network's master channel at fbnet.podbean.com or subscribe on the Podbean app where you can find all the shows. Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast. Culture Clash, a weekly look at pop culture. New look at Making Treks, a Star Trek fan podcast. And also check out The Mullet Guild, a look at the Dune universe from me, the Lethal Mullet. You can also check out
this show and all the others, like What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast, Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast, and much, much more. All on FPN. You can follow on Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and all podcatchers. Make sure you follow me, The Lethal Mullet, at The Lethal Mullet on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Right, so that's where you can find us here on FPN, and of course, great many shows on there to check out. And of course, on Mondays, you get this show, Lethal Mullet, and of course, on Thursdays, you get the Mullet Guild, which is an attachment to this show, all about Frank Herbert's Dune. Celebrating it before it comes out this year. Well, the bad news is, if it's this year, because they're doing a lot of reshoots, we still haven't heard word whether this film is actually going to come out, and we'll talk about it in the news segment.
Now it's time for the latest action news from the cinema and martial arts movies and more, all here on the Lethal Mullet Podcast.
All right, let's get into it and chat about Dune. So there's been a couple of people that have, you know, a little bit worried that we haven't got a trailer yet out there, of course, about Dune. And whether it's the great folks at Dune Info or Secrets of Dune, two fantastic YouTube and, of course, websites to check out. They really have covered all areas of Dune when it comes to the novels and celebration and that and more. There's many others. There's too many to list right now. But there's a good celebration of Dune going out there right now. But the worry is that we aren't seeing a trailer. We've seen, obviously, the Vanity Fair pics have been out. And it's a good little teaser. But it sounds like if they're doing this, it could be a delay. Whether it's 2021, we see the movies. But you got to think about the COVID environment. So sort of this second wave, which obviously is closing cinemas in some parts of the world. Definitely Australia, we're getting hit in Victoria with a bit of a second wave down there. They're all closed in, boxed up, and can't get out. And of course, that's to try and stop the curve that's coming when it comes to the wave of increase in COVID. And of course, the other parts of Australia are all opened up again. We have here in Queensland, particularly here, everything's reopened, but no new movies yet, of course. You can go and see The Matrix right now in some movies. You can see some, I think they've even got some Arnold Schwarzenegger movies out there as well. Many others. They're even talking about some Star Wars movies they may be showing soon in one of these longer running, you know, sit down sessions that they do. If you can sit through three movies like that straight away, who knows? But I believe it's only 20 to 25 people per cinema, as the COVID sort of laws locking it down to make sure there's no spread. And it's pretty hard when you think about it. It's air-conditioned rooms too. So it's, you know, if there's going to be, you know, closed-in environment like that, they've got to spread out the people and make sure there's no infection getting around. Anyway, but one of the great things about that too is that we sort of have a rough idea out here in Australia how long it's going to be for us to get new films. It's going to be the same as obviously all the other countries out there. So let's just hope we get it soon, because we've got that. We've also got No Time to Die, the James Bond movie. We have Tenet, which I've got a mild interest in. You know, I think it's just going to be another brain cruncher from Christopher Nolan. So who knows what's going to happen there. But let me tell you this, folks. I am more excited what's coming to straight to streaming and DVD right now as well. And some great podcasts and, of course, video channel out there by action star Scott Adkins. Now, if you're a fan of Scott Adkins like I am, he's pretty much the British Jean-Claude Van Damme. Obviously, he's friends with Van Damme, worked with him on many films, but his Taekwondo background, of course, deep background in martial arts as well, he studied many styles, is fantastic. He's one of the most balletic, flexible, strong, and charismatic martial artists out there. Obviously, he's the star of the Ninja movies, Ninja 1 and 2, that are out there right now. Also, Hard Target, he's part of the sequel package to that too. El Gringo, he's part of that as well. And there's a number of just fantastic martial arts and action fests. But the guy can act. He's really, really good. But he's also really great on camera. hosting interviews and stuff with action stars. And his own channel recently had Ong Bak, star martial arts master from those series in that. Also, Shokasugi's own son, Kane Kasugi, was on there too. And he was talking about his background in martial arts, which, being Shokasugi's son, obviously there's a background in karate. But outside of karate, he's also studied taekwondo and many other styles as well too. So really, really well-versed, just like his old man. Obviously, Shokasugi was a karate champion, but he's also well-versed in ninjutsu, judo, jiu-jitsu, many other styles as well. Any great martial artist will always sort of look out and spread out. I myself have studied karate, tai chi, ninjutsu, capoeira, freestyle, Bob Jones karate, or Zendo Kai, we call it out here. And he's very good friends with, of course, Australian martial artist, and just all-round good guy, Richard Norton. I mean, this guy's just the best. So always great to have a bit of a background in other styles and stuff. Now, there's a great Australian martial artist. We're always talking about Australian films when we can. And, of course, one of the stars that sort of started out here and worked his way out, and he's obviously come back and done some on-screen work and also stunt work on Mad Max Fury Road as well. And that's, of course, Richard Norton. So we're getting a bit of a quick celebration of this fine gentleman and fine action star. We're talking about somebody who's one of the most humble action stars out there too. Somebody who's also been a bodyguard in the entertainment industry. He's a ninth degree black belt in Zendo Kai Karate. And of course, Zendo Kai is sort of an amalgamation of different styles. What's great about Zendo Kai, I studied it many years ago in Brisbane. And it's, in some ways, it feels like Cobra Kai. You know, it's the kind of karate you really need on the street. It's very street level. There's a bit of Muay Thai involved. Besides the Muay Thai, there's a lot of focus on real sparring. You're going to take some body blows in that style. So it really gets you prepped for whatever could come out there. Not that you'd want to go and find a fight, but it could really, really be something out there too. So he's obviously a stuntman, stunt fight coordinator and fight choreographer, but also a martial arts trainer. Very good friends with, of course, Chuck Norris. And you may remember him from The Octagon. Of course, in that film, he played the ninja, but he also played one of the interviewers that was interviewing Chuck as he was trying to get into The Octagon as well. He's now 70 years old, and I'll tell you what, he doesn't even look it at all. Now, he's a personal bodyguard for people like the Rolling Stones, Linda Ronstadt, James Taylor, David Bowie, ABBA, Fleetwood Mac, Stevie Nicks, and here's the coolest one, John Belushi. Yeah, man, I just got to tell you, that's pretty damn cool. Now, he's worked with Jackie Chan years ago in a great, fantastic film. It is a manga and anime adaptation, and it's, of course, called City Hunter. It is a fantastic film where we actually get to see Gary Daniels, the powerhouse from England, and Jackie Chan play characters from Street Fighter 2, and it's hilarious. So it's a little bit different for Jackie even. Like, it's really sort of expressionistic, but also very fast, blitzing sort of kung fu in it and action. But also the amount of comedy in it is amped up more than what Jackie usually does as well. So he's brilliant. Also, he's been inducted into the Australasian Martial Arts Hall of Fame. He's won many awards, and he's the head instructor of the Richard Norton Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Organization. So this is the most real Australian martial artist you're going to get when it comes to that sort of stuff. You know, he knows everything. But obviously, he's been in a lot of Hong Kong films. In those Hong Kong films, obviously, he got to know a lot of the, Jackie Chan's group that were in there too. There's, of course, Sammo Hung, Yun Biao, and many others too. So he was in The Magic Crystal, Twinkle Twinkle Lucky Stars, great film. It's a fantastic film. Millionaire's Express and Mr. Nice Guy. And of course, we've talked about this gentleman before, and we're going to have a special on it too. in Millionaire's Express, he was against Yasuaki Kodata. So Kodata-san, as he's known, obviously he's a well-known martial artist from Japan. Obviously, he was in some great and fantastic films like Blood Fight, which we've talked about. We're going to do a special on Blood Fight. I think it's one. It was made before Bloodsport, but you actually get to see pretty much the same sort of thing as that. It's a kumite. But once they had a success with Bloodsport, and they had Bolo Jung in the same film, in Blood Fight as well, they kind of played on that and sort of made it a different name and went it that way, from what I gather. He's also very well known for Fist of Legend, where, of course, he gets to play a Japanese sensei in that one, and obviously he does karate in that one as well. But he's up against Jet Li, who's playing the Bruce Lee role. You know, especially, it's an adaptation, again, or reimagining, if you like, of Fist of Fury, or the Chinese Connection. And what's great about it, too, is when he's up against Jet, they're kind of teaching each other. They have this great fight out in, it's out in sort of a park or near a, essentially, I think it's near a graveyard. And, you know, Jet's just sort of sitting off the side, relaxing, and Kurata-san turns up in, I think it's a kimono outfit, just very traditional. And he plays it up very much like Miyamoto Musashi would do. You know, he would sort of play with the minds of the person who is up against the opponent and really sort of psychologically screw with them. So things like they're about to start the fight and he says, "Hang on, I'm going to take my shoes off." You know, and sort of stopping it and starting it. And Jet kind of gets annoyed and it puts him off his game. And it's, again, one of those great things that, you know, as much as a martial arts or even just any fight is physical, it's also of the mind too, which is very, very good lesson there too. But quickly getting back to Norton, Richard Norton, obviously been working with Jackie Chan on three films, Sammo Hung, Benny the Jet Urquidez in Kick Fighter, and Benny the Jet's great. I mean, I do believe Benny the Jet is also a great trainer too of many action stars as well and actors as well too. So yeah, he's great. He's got some great YouTube videos on training and stuff like that too. Again, mainly kickboxing is his background from what I remember. Don the Dragon Wilson, obviously very well known in the sort of mid to late 90s. I do believe still out there training hard and too. And of course, Cynthia Rothrock. Who I think started with him in China O'Brien and also, if I remember right, Lady Dragon too. So very worth checking out too. Obviously too, he's worked with other stars here and there too, but his martial arts experience is what is the most interesting. Obviously, he's done a wide variety. And he's studying a very similar style. I'm currently studying Goju-Ryu Karate, and he is a fifth degree Shihan black belt. In that too. He's also studied judo, karate, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, aikido, which I've studied too, Thai boxing. He's a weapons, several weapons sort of systems he's trained in as well. And of course, you know, he's worked in the system of Zendo Kai. As I said, it's really, it's a mix of different styles. Very effective martial art too, by my essay. Obviously, too, he's worked with Chuck Norris, and I think he's in he's an eighth degree in Chun Kuk Do. I hope I've pronounced that right, but that's Chuck Norris's martial arts system that he's come up with too. And there's many people he's trained with, like Tino Sobrano. And that's of course Kate Sobrano's father. Now, those that know Kate Sobrano, she's a very, very famous Australian singer out here. One of the best, if not the best, Australian singer out there. We have also Fumio Demura, who's a fantastic karate and kata expert too. Well, she's some of his kata and weapons katas. Also, Bill Superfoot Wallace, amazing kicker. Jean-Jacques Machado, and of course, Chuck Norris. Also, Pete Sugarfoot Cunningham, not familiar with him. But also, one that I'm very familiar with, and there's, of course, Tadashi Yamashita. Tadashi Yamashita is a fantastic martial artist, and one that I think he's been around so long. And he's a really well respected, you know, martial artist. But just the absolute hard work that this gentleman has put into movies and sort of where he's going with it has always been very interesting too. Obviously, he played the bad guy ninja in American Ninja, and I thought he was really good in that one. He did a really good job of sort of getting the ninjutsu techniques out there too. Because again, very hard. A lot of the weapons that you learn in that. I studied the Bujinkan system years ago, and what's interesting about that is almost every second week we're learning something new. Which is great, but it's a very modern system. You know, they sort of don't stay too much with tradition. They'll always, something's going to be faster and more effective. And if you get something done in under three moves, that's ninjutsu pretty much. And of course, that what obviously you see on screen, that too, of course, opposite, Michael Dudikoff. And he returned in American Ninja 5 in 1993 as well. He is also in The Octagon. So there you go. Fantastic actor too. But anyway, the salute to Richard Norton, mate. You're fantastic. You are somebody that we love here at the Lethal Mullet Podcast, and we salute you. Alrighty, mate. Time to go down to the pub for a pint, a chat, action movies and more here on the Lethal Mullet Podcast. Alrighty, folks. Here we go. We're going to be chatting about, of course, I Come in Peace. Known out here in Australia as Dark Angel. Well, a couple of years later, James Cameron kind of stole that sort of name, didn't he? But guess what, James Cameron, this came first, buddy boy. Yeah, that's right. It is a science fiction action film, as we mentioned earlier. It is directed by Craig Baxley. And it is a buddy cop action film, pretty much. Craig Redding Baxley is also a stunt coordinator, stunt performer, occasional actor. But obviously he's known for Police Story, Harry O, Rich Man, Poor Man, Gemini Man, Roots, MASH, The A-Team, Dukes of Hazzard. He was also a second unit director on Hunter. He was a stunt coordinator on The Warriors, Long Riders, Reds, and Predator. So that's kind of, you know, the area you're sort of heading into. His directorial debut was Action Frickin' Jackson. Would you check that out, folks? Action Frickin' Jackson. That's right. There's a movie we got to cover. That's a bloody good movie, that. And, of course, Stone Cold was another he did after this film, of course. That's a great film. Stone Cold is right up there. It's a Brian Bosworth film. Obviously, the 80s football star. yeah, American football, folks. You know, the one with padded shoulders. That's right. Padded shoulders and helmets. Well, Australia, folks, we go out without all that stuff on. And we go, mano a mano. Sorry, had to say it. But yes, of course, that was an action film which also starred Lance Henriksen, William Forsythe as well. And, well, that's for another podcast, but it's a great film. But what's great about this director really gets, you know, action films that can be short but snappy. And this is, for the time, actually quite a long film. Most films at the time were about 80 minutes long. Obviously, release date, December 28, 1990, 91 minutes in length, had a budget of about $5 to $7 million. It wasn't a rip-roaring success. It only made $4.35 million. Right, so not quite all of its money back. Well, if it's $5 million, it's not too bad, is it? So, originally, it was titled Dark Angel. We got the original title, obviously, out here on VHS. And it was going to be renamed by Triumph Releasing to I Come in Peace. And obviously we got it as a different one now too, but there are other movies titled The Dark Angel in the United States, so they decided to change it now. So, before we get into it, let's talk about the plot of this movie.
I come in peace.
And you'll be going home in pieces!
It is 1990, the place is Houston, that is in Texas, the United States, and a drug-running alien has finally come home to roost. While making a drug bust, Jack Kane sees the drug dealer and his partner is slaughtered by this huge, giant alien with milky white eyes who says,
"I come in peace."
Strung out to avenge the hapless murder, the absolute cunning Kane gets put together with an absolute nerd from the FBI, Larry Smith. Together, they must find the alien responsible for all the deaths. And through their cunning, they will find the one who says,
"I come in peace."
Please hang up and try again.
Now it's time for the Lethal Mullet Cafe, as we chill back, relax, and look at the trivia. All the detail, the nitty-gritty of the films we are celebrating.
Alright, so the big member of the cast that really stands out, and we'll get into the others, is of course Mattias Hughes. And of course, he's well known for being basically usually the bad guy in some great action films and of course martial arts films. But of course, the big start he had was in No Retreat, No Surrender 2. And I think it's because Van Damme didn't come back or something along those lines. Or he's best known for pretty much this film, I Come in Peace / Dark Angel. But he's also played a Klingon general in Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country. So it's the last one with all the original series crew left. And of course, the other one too is that he's also great in, I think, one of the great action films of all time, Cage in 1989. He played the Italian fighter in that. He's also in Kickboxer 2, The Road Back. He plays Neil Vargas. You can also see him in Mission of Justice, where he plays Titus Larkin. Now, Mission of Justice, of course, one of the great and probably the best of Jeff Wincott's. That's the Canadian actor and Taekwondo martial artist. Great, great actor. Of course, he did a lot of straight-to-video work at that time. But also, another great one he did was Bounty Tracker, where he played Eric Gauss. Bounty Tracker was a great film, which kind of, in some ways, pretty much did a bit of a knockoff in ways to Hard Target. Of course, Lorenzo Lamar was part of that. And it was directed by Kurt Anderson, who was involved, from what I remember, in the Jeff Wincott movies as well. So, again, great little movie. And, of course, he's done, lots and lots since, too. He's even involved in Power Rangers as well, for the young kids that are out there, too. Fantastic build, this guy was always, the specimen of fitness, still is today. And, of course, at 61, he does not look 61. He's so well into his, obviously, his gym work and fitness. And just the height of the guy, too, 1.96 meters tall. He really is one of the greats. And for this role, where he plays the alien that comes to, obviously get involved in the murders that are down here, and, of course, he's trying to get the drugs, and those drugs being something inside the humans. but it's great. He really plays it off well against, obviously, somebody who's tall already, and that is, of course, Dolph Lundgren. So that's great. Now, one of the great things about this series, is that we do get that sort of play on that too. So obviously we've got Dolph Lundgren as Jack Kane, which we talked about, he's the detective trying to solve these murders. Brian Benben, who plays the special agent who's trying to basically go by the book and not cause any trouble. Again, quite good in actually for what he does. We also have Sherman Howard. We also have who plays Victor Manning in it. Michael J. Pollard, who many know from many action films as well. You also have Jesse Vint playing the man in the Mercedes at the start. We also have Robert Prentice, Kevin Page, and Alex Morris playing Detective Ray Turner in it as well. So some really interesting parts of this film, which we'll get into soon too. Now, what's great about this cast is we've got Brian Benben. I bet you didn't know this, but he is actually married to Madeline Stowe. There you go. It's a bit of a slice of trivia for you. And again, great actor. Like, he really plays well off Dolph Lundgren. He's basically the foil. So, obviously, it's the good cop, bad cop thing, or the cop that runs by the book and the cop that will do anything to get the job done because he's basically on a surge of vengeance, if you like. So what's great about that too is we also have Betsy playing the love interest to Jack Kane, so the girlfriend. She's also the coroner, so she basically describes what's happening with the murders as well. And we also have Jay Billers playing Azek, who's basically like the alien police officer. And unlike Mattias, who plays Talek, the drug dealer, he's kind of, you know, I suppose at the end of the day, still has all the power, all the firearms and stuff like that the other guy has, but he's trying to do the same job, obviously, too. We also have a few others here and there, too. We also have Mark Lowenthal as Bruce, the eccentric and paranoid scientist. He's quite good in it, actually. We also have Michael J. Pollard as Boner. He's the petty sort of crook in it. And we also have, uncredited, is Al Leong. Obviously, Al Leong you'd know well from Lethal Weapon, Die Hard, and many other action films in the 1980s and 1990s, too. So, again, it's quite interesting. It's funny film. There's a lot of comedy in it, too. And, of course, one of the big things is Mattias Hughes has been trying to get a sequel going to this film since the 2000s. I think up until only a few years ago, he's trying to still get something happening with it too. So, you know, it's brilliant. So one of the big things is at the start, we obviously see drug dealers getting almost, you know, handed to him by obviously Kane when he's going to stop a convenience store robbery. But also part of that too is that the Taylor comes in and types this is basically the ability to come down and actually take from humans a drug, which he obviously spurts out from his forearm, basically under his hand. And it's pretty gross when you actually first see it, like on VHS even. It was like into the person. And then obviously we see this, you know, it goes, "I come in peace." And then it goes back up into... you know, and he's got that, of course, he does that little smile. Mattias does so well in the film is, you know, you kind of, I almost like the guy, you know, the character at that point. But then, you know, obviously he's, you know, he's right into this thing. So the wound, of course, is one that you see in the head in each of these times that the bodies are taken to the coroners, you actually see that the, it's the head where it's punctured from. So, he's basically extracting something inside the humans into himself, and that's the drug that they're trying to sneak out. So they're actually basically the alien technology is built to extract endorphins from the brains of the victims and turning them into a drug which is called Barsi. And it's basically the thing that's wherever Taylor comes from, it's the one that the addicts on his planet use and stuff like that too. So again, it's, you know, it's an interesting take, but also the fact that it kills its victims, and it victims is us human beings, is quite interesting too. So in that we see some great action scenes where obviously they're still trying to hightail it after these guys. We obviously see Lundgren's character Jack Kane trying to get there, but each time he's kind of foiled, but also has the FBI in the way as well, as obviously they don't believe him and he doesn't believe them. They're going to help him and stuff like that too. Hence why he's got Larry Smith with him wherever he goes. But obviously the big payoff later on is that we get to see Jack Kane and Larry really get to know each other well. And when Smith and Kane start doing the wisecracks, there's some really great liners, which we're going to get into very, very soon in our little wisecrack segment too. But before we do that, we need to chat about the guns in this here movie, because there's some great guns in this one.
Oh yes, I did hear this film had a number of firearms at its disposal.
Well, I certainly hope Kevin the Raider Nerd Reitzel will love this segment, because he loves his guns, man. You do, don't you, buddy? Well, here we go. So, the first weapon is the alien pulse weapon. That's that huge thing that just goes...
Well, or something like that anyway. But the weapon is a Coleco M950. Now, this weapon has been used in a number of science fiction films, and it is, of course, basically a submachine gun. So that's why it's, you know, it sounds like you can just fire off a humongous amount of rounds. It looks a little bit like a P90, I suppose. It has a drum-like magazine on the top of the hand grip. And basically, it's a very futuristic-looking firearm. Both Mattias and Jay Bilez use this weapon. Later on, Agent Larry Smith picks it up, and he uses it at the end too. And also, you can see Jack Kane, Dolph Lundgren using it as well. It is a 9mm weapon, so it's basically no bigger than you know, your Browning sort of caliber or a Beretta, I suppose. But what's great is it really does look the part of a futuristic firearm. It's got a massive muzzle flash when it's firing those blanks in the film too. And again, it's, you know, one you can fire from one hand. So it does look pretty damn cool. We also have in the film the crime organization, which is known as the White Boys. You know, they use the Heckler & Koch MP5K, which is basically the cut-down short stock version, or in this case, no stock version of the MP5. This has been used obviously a number of times by Die Hard 2 was used quite extensively. It was used in Terminator 2, and yeah, it's used in a lot of films. Obviously, also in Under Siege with a silencer. But Steven Seagal, that's right, you know, Aikido master Steven Seagal, and yeah, again, quite a good little weapon for what it is in this film. You also see the Benny Uzi, which is used in it too. This is, of course, the weapon used by the Delta Force, Chuck Norris and friends. You also get Heckler & Koch P9S. Again, they must have been souped up by Heckler & Koch in this film, eh? that's used by one of the many in the police department, obviously used by Jack Kane in this one. That's another 9mm. And they also the P7. Is a Heckler & Koch that is used by Agent Smith as well. You've got a Daytonics Pocket Master in this one. We've got a Beretta used as well by Jack. Colt Commander and the venerable Sig Sauer P226, one of the greatest on the market too. And those that can remember it, you also see the Colt Python in this. And we also see the Model 15, Smith and Wesson as well too. So again, quite impressive. There's even a Dan Wesson 357 Magnum in as well. Huge bloody barrel on this thing too. You've also got the Mossberg 500 AT shotgun, the Remington 870, and yes, again, that's used quite extensively in the movie as well. And that's all the guns we got to give you today here on the Lethal Mullet Podcast.
Time to go now. I'm going in pieces. Okay.
Yeah, that's all we've got time for here on the show tonight. I hope you've enjoyed our little look at Dark Angel. I come in peace, and we'll be back this time next week. That's right, Monday next week, with much more on the show. And, of course, much more action films to chat about and more from Quinlan's Cantina, the Gold Coast of Australia for FPN. This is Adam O'Brien, the Lethal Mullet, signing off, and we'll catch you next time. Same place, same channel. Until then, have a great week.
G'day, folks. Hope you're enjoying the great shows here on the Phantom Podcast Network. Be sure to check out all the great shows that we have on offer and subscribe on the master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. You can check Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast hosted by Kevin the Raider Nerd Rysel and Lee Fillingsis on their platform. You can also check out Culture Clash, which is the weekly look at pop culture hosted by Kevin and Kyle. Couch Potato Theatre, this is a cult classics and guilty pleasure podcast. Also Time Warp, Fandom Flashback Show, End Zone, a look at the NFL, the American football. Also, Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast, looking at the great films of Alfred Hitchcock. Union Federation podcast, a Star Trek and Orville podcast, looking at Discovery and, of course, Picard, plus the Orville. But also, the Hair Metal podcast, looking at the great shows put on by the amazing bands back in the late 80s, their discs, their LPs, everything. All covering the fashion as well. Hosted by Kevin the Raider Nerd Reitzel.
You can also check out Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, hosted by Kevin and Dan Hadley, looking at all the eras of Doctor Who. You can also catch out What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast, an amazing show looking at Star Wars, hosted by Derek and Scott. And of course, our newest one, the amazing, The Mullet Guild, an offshoot of the Lethal Mullet podcast looking at Frank Herbert's Dune universe. This is like an encyclopedia for Dune, where I take you through and down into the rabbit hole of Frank Herbert's amazing space opera, the sprawling universe which is going to be brought to life by Denis Villeneuve and December 18. You can check out all the shows there. Be sure to also go onto the social platforms on Twitter at FanPod Network. Let us know what you think of the shows and what else you can look at there. You can also check out great articles that we put up through there that we share. Also check out on Instagram and Facebook, Fandom Podcast Network. Be sure to make sure that every Tuesday you check out the great work done by Making Treks as well. A brand new podcast looking at a deep dive of Star Trek, hosted by myself, James Semple, and of course, the ever popular and amazing writer of Star Trek and Star Wars, Mark Newbold. Go and check it out, folks, and we'll catch you next time here on the Fandom Podcast Network's The Lethal Mullet Podcast. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.